Blog Talk Radio.
We are black, they are white. Our blood is red, but we can never unite. Let's get down, let's get down, let's get down, let's get down. If I was white, I wonder what it'd be like. Would I shoot a nigga, hang him from a tree and call it a night? Would I think I have the right to be the black boy and make him run home? Just because I got a badge and a gun on? Willie D got issues. Once I hit the dip and pop the clip in my shit, break out the tissues. These motherfuckers want us dead. Black celebrities are getting murdered, and it's the feds. Politicians, they on my ass for the cuss words. Why they bitches? They got the fucking on the television. Seeing is believing, ho. How come you fucking with me and not Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci and Schwarzenegger, Bruce Willis and Sean Penn? You bitches better come again, cause I'm hip to the tricks you play. If I was white, you wouldn't have shit to say. Recognize the real. You know why these motherfuckers mad? Cause we black and we stand with the fuck we feel. They still look at us like we slaves. If I'm a gangster motherfucking rapper, these motherfuckers I just mentioned are gangster actors. They say they don't like the language, but see, Hollywood been exploiting us for years, and now we get some money out the deal. Like I was saying, you wouldn't have shit to say. If I was from England, standing on the corner mingling, they hate to see us coming together for anything. Call it a gang when two or more brothers hang. How come I'm loved by few and hated by many when real shit is what I always represented? You niggas riding artists that be lying and shit. You got sugar in your blood if you ain't buying my shit. Ain't that a bitch? As soon as I hit the dope, motherfuckers start following me around the stove. Po-po, do you get a bonus for harassing the black club owners? But niggas gotta fight for their rights.
If I fight, I'll pay.
Hey, they gon' fuck with you anyway. So if you gotta go down bustin'. If you did that, I might think twice if I was white.
We are black, they are white. Our blood is red, but we can never unite. Let's get down, 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 let's get down.
Last high and first five, that's us. Man, I'm sick and tired of these prejudiced bastards. 1 million niggas in the NFL and not one black owner. What's up with Denzel? And it's Oscar Nard, are you a tutor? You think you did something cause you gave one to Cuba? That maneuver is played out, you funky scrub. If I was white, could I join your country club? And if my little sister came up missing, would you start a manhunt like you did for Laura Smithers? I'm wishing for a change in my lifetime, but all I see is hate crimes on Dateline. And all white juries in a token black, giving niggas 25 for smoking crack. I'd rather bust a motherfucking cap than pray. Fuck baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. I keep telling y'all I ain't paranoid. When's the last time you seen an all-black jury judge a white person in America? That shit just do not happen. But it always happened to a black person. Black man on trial for his life. All-white jury who can't possibly relate to him. Conviction. But let it be a white man, they're gonna be a little bit more lenient. You know why? Because when they look at him, they see their son, they see their nephew, they see the boy next door, they see their husband, they see the guy they work with. But when they see a black man, they automatically look at slave, 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 nigga, nigga, nigga. That's how the motherfuckers think. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you.
Yes, yes, yes. So awake up, African people, and this is the Truth Doctor. And tonight we have a brother from Egypt, and he is going to be telling his story. It's very tragic that we as black people still go through madness on white supremacy to this very day. And the brother Mustafa Heffany's story has been going on for a while. And he has not had the backing black community the way he should have. And
correct.
We come together as a people and get behind this brother and help to establish blackness wherever we are on the face of the earth. Because for geopolitical reasons, white people want to change Egypt into an all-white country so they can erase black history. And I am now about to introduce our gracious brother, Mustafa Heffany, so he can tell his story tonight. Mustafa Heffany, my brother, the mic is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can hear you well.
Okay. My name is Dr. Mustafa Heffany. I am an Egyptian Nubian, a black man, and I have a PhD from Wayne State University, PhD in education, and I was a bilingual resource teacher with Wayne County Regional Education Service Agency in the city of Wayne, Michigan, for 13 years. I am a black man. My hair is kinkier than President Obama's. My complexion is darker than President Obama's. My features are more African than President Obama's. And yes, he is classified as black and I'm classified as white. But according to Directive Number 15 of the Office of Management and Budget, and this is how this whole thing started. I immigrated to this country in 1978, and I became a citizen in 1984. When I went for my citizenship test exam, you have to take an exam in government and in language. I passed both. The interviewer was white. He said, "Congratulations, Mr. Heffany. You are now an American citizen, and you are now white." I said, "What?" He said, "You are now white." I said, "I have been black my entire life." He said, "No, from now on, once you get a form, whenever you get a form asking about your race, say that you're white." I didn't take him seriously, but at work, at my place of employment, Wayne County Regional Education Service Agency, for short, they call themselves Wayne County RESA, I got a form called Race Ethnic Identification Card. It was sent to all employees back in 1987. We were supposed to indicate our race on this form. I stated that I am black. The director of human resources sent me a letter threatening me that my education career would be ruined if I did not change my classification on this form from black to white. A few days later, one of the top administrators, I would refer to him as Initial S because I don't want him to sue me right now. Initial S called me to his office and said, "If you ever say you're black again, no one will hire you. And if hired, you will be running from one job to the other for the rest of your life." Okay? I kept saying that I'm black, and I'm proud to be black. Okay? Wayne County RESA did not fire me. They denied me promotions twice. They harassed me. They ridiculed me. They called me nigger. For your information, Wayne County RESA is the link between the state level, the Michigan Department of Education, and the local level, the local school districts. It's the link, okay? All superintendents from the local school districts in Wayne County come to Wayne County RESA once a month to meet with the superintendent and report to him. Even though that Wayne County RESA provides support and consultant services to all of Wayne County, which is 30% blacks. The superintendent was white, his four associate superintendents were white, and 95% of the administrators and consultants were white. Okay? To give you an idea that there was an anti-black feeling in this organization. It might still be. There might still be an anti-black feeling in this organization. But anyway, they did not fire me. They did all this to me, and I was isolated. They threatened me. I got threats to my life on the phone. I reported them to Michigan Bell, and Michigan Bell sent me a letter. It's documented. Everything is documented. My book's coming out. Okay, everything is documented. But anyway, so I left on Social Security psychiatric disability, which lasted 10 years. When I recovered and returned to the workforce, I was fired 5 times. Wayne County RESA followed up on their threats and I was fired 5 times. And I tell you how they did it. It might have been the government also who participated in this. I'm not sure. But Wayne Count Teresa is the one who was harassing me from the beginning to the end. But it might have been the government, because this is big. What they did was big. Okay? Now, after I went on Social Security Psychiatric Disability, I received a letter from Wayne County Teresa, a package from Wayne County Teresa. I opened it and I found a medical report from the Social Security psychiatrist who examined me. Okay? This report is confidential, but Wayne County Teresa got it and they used it to get me fired 5 times. But anyway, let me finish the story. After I recovered and returned to the workforce, back in 1998, I recovered and went back to the workforce. I got a job with Nosoroma Institute Public School Academy in Oak Park as a teacher, even though that I have a PhD and many years of experience. And the principal told me, Dr. Hefley, I saw your medical report from Social Security. You either resign or get fired. I have chest pain right away when he said this. And the ambulance was called. Anyway, he fired me the following day on the grounds that I cannot handle the stress of the job. I knew why he fired me. The pressure from Wayne County Teresa and probably the government. Okay?
Mm.
I had 4 menial jobs after that. I wanted to protect my career because I knew that if I get any job as a teacher or as an administrator in a school district, I'll be fired, and I'll be ruining my career. So I decided to get menial jobs until my issues are settled completely. Okay? So I got a job as a receptionist at Suburban Door in Livonia, a company that sells doors. After I got my first check, and Wayne County Teresa and the government knew where I was working through my IRS deductions, I got fired immediately on the grounds that I was on Social Security, psychiatric disability, and they saw the medical report. Okay? Mm. I got another job in a factory. I got fired after the first paycheck, after deductions were made to the IRS on the grounds that they saw the medical report. This happened again. I worked as assistant butcher, even though I have a PhD. And very intelligent person and very well educated, very well read person, very cultured person. I worked as assistant butcher for 1 week and then I got fired on the grounds that they saw the medical report. I applied for a job with the Detroit Public Schools, a black school district, predominantly black, 95% black, hoping that I would get some sympathy over there. I had an interview and I passed the interview for 2 positions, one homeroom teacher, the other is bilingual teacher. When I went to ask when I will get my assignment, they told me that they saw the medical report of Social Security, which is confidential, and that I will not get hired. They saw the medical report. I believe that it's either Wayne County Teresa, which has supervision authority, supervision power over Detroit Public Schools, or the government that did this. I'm not sure. But anyway, I have been trying to get help all the time. I filed 2 Equal Employment Opportunity Commission discrimination charges, and I stated on the charges that I am black. Both of them were dismissed through ingenious manipulations without investigating my evidence. Both of them without investigating my evidence that I was discriminated against by Wayne County Teresa, but they were dismissed through ingenious manipulation without investigating my evidence. I believe this has happened because of 2 things, the high-level connections of the superintendent of Wayne County Teresa, and another thing because I state on the report that on the charge that I am black, even though that I'm legally a white person. Okay? I filed a lawsuit against Wayne County Teresa. I hired an attorney in Highland I hired an attorney, a white attorney, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, first. One of the top attorneys in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I paid him a lot of money. He was supposed to do Wayne County Risa right away. He kept telling me that he's receiving a lot of pressure. He kept telling me that the superintendent of Wayne County Risa might get the state attorney general to my file. We have to be careful what to put in this file. And he would drag his feet. He does not want to file the lawsuit. Obviously, he was paid by Wayne County Risa for the government. I'm not sure, but for 2 years, 2.8 years, 2.8 years, he would not file a lawsuit. Okay? I was afraid that the time of limitations would run, so I left him. I went to hire the black attorney from Detroit, Benjamin Whitfield. Okay? He filed a lawsuit under the State Civil Rights Act, Larson Elliott Civil Rights Act. He filed a lawsuit as a black minority under this act. The case was dismissed. The Wayne County Risa filed papers in court that I'm white, and the case was dismissed. I went all the way to the state Supreme Court. The state Supreme Court said, we have no interest in this issue, or we cannot do anything in this issue, in this matter. Something like that. But anyway, I wrote to Congressman Conyers, my congressman. I live in his district. I wrote to him 5 times, asking him to introduce a bill in Congress to include Egyptian Nubians in the definition of Black Directive number 15. Of the Office of Management and Budget. He did not respond. 5 times. I called his office 5 times to speak to him, to follow up on my 5 letters. They told me he's busy. He did not talk to me. 5 times. Anyway, I wrote to Jesse Jackson twice. He did not respond. I wrote to Al Sharpton twice. He did not respond. I wrote to Louis Farrakhan. Once, he did not respond. Another time, my public relations person, who is Nubian also, was communicating with his assistant. I think he's called Brother Muhammad, I think. Imam Muhammad or Brother Muhammad. She was begging him for 1 month to put me on the platform of the 1 million man march so I can draw attention to my cause, to the Nubian cause. He would not put me on the platform for 3 minutes. He would not put me. For 1 minute, even. We were asking for 3 minutes. He wouldn't give it to me. But anyway, so this is what happened. We filed a complaint with the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights. They said that I have to submit all kinds of evidence. We submitted a complaint of 8 pages, 8-page complaint. I prepared it, filed it, and 1,350 signatures on the petition. They said that's enough, and it's under review right now. But I have decided to go public anyway. They help, whether they help or don't help, I'm going to go public. I'm going to take my kids to the American people right away. I want to form an organization, and I want as many people as possible to support me and get involved. I want to hook up with other black organizations that are progressive, and I want people to sign my petition so I can have more signatures, give my cause more credibility, and so on and so forth. Now, there is a law called the one-drop rule. The one-drop rule. If you have, this rule says, if you have 1 drop of black blood in your veins, you are black. This rule was adopted by the U.S. government in 1860, around 1860. And was confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1986. You saw my picture, right? Brother
yes.
Akbar.
Yes,
am I a black man or a white man?
You are a black man. A proud
black man. I'm a
black man.
My complexion is brown, like most African Americans. My hair is kinky. Not curly, kinky. And my features are African. I'm a black man.
Mm-hmm.
This means I have more than 1 drop of black blood in my veins. This qualifies me to be black under the law, under the American law. But I'm unable to get it. I'm unable to get it. Anyway, I want to form an organization, and I need your support. If you have any questions, please. I wrote to President Obama, by the way. I wrote to President Obama letting him about my ordeal and the ordeal of thousands of other Egyptian Nubians. This letter was sent by certified mail. and it was received on July 12, 2012. But President Obama did not respond to my letter. I sent Mrs. Michelle Obama a letter, a certified letter, and a copy of my letter to the president, asking her to forward it to him. She would not respond, and she would not forward it to him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I had in 2012 and 2013, I had over 100 African-American pastors write to Congressman Conyers, asking him to hand-deliver my letter to President Obama. He refused to do it. In 2014, I had 6 African-American civil rights leaders and pastors write to Congressman Conyers, asking him to introduce a bill in Congress to include Egyptian Nubians in the definition of black person in Directive number 15 of the Office of Marriage and Budget. He did not respond. He did not do it. He refused to do it. This is what's going on. This is my story. This is what's going on.
But let me say this, my brother. All the people that you know, that you wrote letters to, are agents of white supremacy. And they're not going to against white supremacy. And when you say it may be or may not be the government, it is the government. Because the government funds these schools, funds all these people, and paid them very well to keep the gate closed on black people. They're the gatekeepers. And Louis Farrakhan, what gets me is he would let a homosexual talk and push the gay thing at the Million Man March, but he would not let you push the black thing. That black people are being persecuted all around the world. Our history is being stolen. Only reason that they won't let you be black is because you bust a hole in their lie that Egypt is a white country.
I know that.
We depend on these so-called black leaders because they're picked, most of them, by the white man. And John Conyers, but just to get a little bit on his side, because I think he's a great man, but once he put out the thing about reparations, they totally emasculated him. You don't even hear about him on the halls of Congress anymore. And he did some great work by issuing the reparation things for black people in America in the diaspora to get paid for all the free labor, enslavement, and oppression we've been going through all these years.
Correct.
Only
I'm aware of that, yes.
And then if you go back to the past, to Jimmy Carter's presidency, he had got a visit from Anwar Sadat, and he said, well, I ain't know he was that dark. They didn't know Anwar Sadat was a black man, you know, because they don't want us to link up with our ancient history, because our ancient history empowers
us. It's rich.
They don't.
Exactly.
And it empowers.
Exactly.
So I want you to explain, because you used to be on the circuit. It used to be some support for you. And I want to ask you, how did the support seem to die down? I mean, did you disappear, or did the support that you had from some black brothers in the movement?
No, I expected Congressman Conyers to do something, honestly. I expected him to do something, but he didn't do anything.
No.
He did not do anything. But I'm not going to rely on him again. I'm going to move on my own. Nothing will stop me but this. Brother Akbar, and I'm talking to you and to your fans, to your audience, nothing will stop me but this. I lost everything already. I lost my career. I lost my house. I lost my car. Mm-hmm. I filed for bankruptcy because they don't want me to have any resources to fight. Nothing will stop me but this. They have to kill me to stop me. I'm going to take my case to the American people. I'm going to write to Congressman Conyers as an open letter, and I'm going to post it on Facebook for posterity to see, for posterity to see, future generations to see how I consider him a hero and a defender of black people's rights, and he would not do anything for me. I'm going to write him an open letter, and I'm going to write open letters from now on. To President Obama, I'm going to write open letters to the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights from now on. Registered mail, open letters posted on Facebook from now on. And by the way, go ahead.
Explain to the audience how it is in Egypt for a black person amongst the white Arabs.
In terms of discrimination?
Yes, in terms of the relationship between the darker people and the lighter people there.
They look down upon them, but it's not like here. It's not like the U.S., not at all.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Egypt, and I did not experience any serious discrimination in Egypt. But they wouldn't put them on TV. They wouldn't put Nubians on TV. They wouldn't give them government positions. I know that. And there is a form of racism, but it's not as harsh as it is here.
How did Anwar Sadat make it to the top?
Because he was part of the revolution in 1952 against the king and against the British. So he worked his way, he did not get promoted by anybody, but he worked his way through the system by participating as one of the, they call themselves the free officers. The free officers, Nasser, Sadat, and the others. They came up with the revolution, kicked out the British, kicked out the king, established a republic, and Nasser appointed him vice president. And Nasser died, and he became president. But right now, no black can reach this position whatsoever.
That's a shame. Well, we have Brother Kwesi on the other line, and I'm going to bring him in and see if he has any questions to ask.
Okay.
Brother Kwesi, you and Skew, would you like to ask any questions?
Hey, greetings, brother. Brother,
hi.
And greetings to the guests. I'm listening in, and I'm just so appalled of what you're going through. And it just comes to show you exactly what Brother Arthur said, that a lot of the people that he mentioned are practically agents. And it seems like they just don't have any concern or any type of, like I said, concern about your cause. And what I want to say to you, brothers, is to stay strong and be vigilant. And I'm 100% behind you.
Thanks, but I need help. I'm going to form an organization, and I want people to join me in the organization. And I want to hook up with other organizations.
Great.
Let me know what organizations I can hook up with and how. Let me know.
My organization to expose black, false leaders are behind you. And we're going to work with you with that newsletter and everything. And we're going to help you to put that newsletter out. I got people working, and they're all across the world. Most of them in America, but I got people outside America that works with us too. So we expose black leaders that's fraudulent to the people, because we never had that before, that people would go and like Louis Farrakhan and all these Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all these people, they're working for the system, because the system picks as the leaders. We didn't pick these guys. I mean, who picks your leaders for you unless you're still a slave? And black people have not, in America and around the world, are sleeping. They don't know that we are still under servitude of white supremacy. You know, so anytime that they take you and tell you who you are, and you're trying to tell them I'm black and they're white, you know we're in a bad situation. We have like about 60 seconds left before the show is going to end, and we're going to come back and have you on the show over and over again until we beat this thing to black people, that you need to get behind this brother, because this brother right here's story, all that we've been saying about Egypt and everything, true, because we know Egypt was black. They know Egypt was white Egypt was black.
The government, the government classifies Nubians as whites because they want to steal the Nubian civilization.
Yes.
Four white scholars at least stated that the ancient Egyptians and the Nubians are white. Seligman, Elliot Smith, Kuhn, and Sergi. They stated in their books that the ancient Egyptians and the Nubians are white.
Mm-hmm.
They want to steal our civilization.
Yeah, and any white scholars that say they were black, they don't listen to them. They just tell they're crazy, you know, because they have to steal a history because they don't have a history of nothing but wars and barbarism. They never had a history like that. Why would you go to Africa and build a great civilization to go over to Europe and build nothing?
In my letter to President Obama, I said, research shows that humanity originated in Africa. Research shows that the black race is the oldest race and that the white race is the youngest. Research shows that all races have evolved from the black race through mutation, gene flow, genetic drift, and recombination. Research shows that civilization originated in Africa. Research shows that the knowledge of the black people of ancient Egypt has influenced and has provided the foundation for all subsequent human knowledge as a black man, as an African, and proud of his heritage. I told him this in my letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to say this publicly on Facebook and on every social media. But help me, guys. Please help me. I need help. Please.
I'm behind. We're going to get that petition we're going to get it full. Now, me and you are going to get together and go door to door in Highland Park and Detroit, Southfield, wherever. We're going to get that petition signed. We're going to get
an electronic petition.
Yes. Is it an online petition?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to push it. I need you to send me that information. So I can push it on my Facebook friend. So send it to me inbox on Facebook, and we're gonna push. I'm gonna have I have a team of 8 people working, doing certain things.
Wow.
And we're gonna push.
Excellent.
We're gonna push. Brother Kwesi is one of them. So we're gonna push this thing. You know, we have to get behind you because your story tells our story. Because you're a modern Egyptian. See. Black people white people messed up our history so bad, we had to go back to Tutankhamun and all that to say, the Egyptians were black. But it's black Egyptians still today. You're one of them.
Correct.
You know, your story proves everything we've been saying. So they need to get behind. Tell the story.
Brother.
No, I have over 5,000 followers on Facebook. I have over 50,000 followers on my radio show and on my YouTube channel where this show is going. I have over close to 200,000 followers.
Excellent.
And we're going to have to keep this story going. We can't go to sleep on this. We got to put that work in. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yep. Brother Aqua.
Yes, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to add into that, I had read this story before some time back, and I am so glad to say that the brother finally came on and actually told his story in total detail, because the media itself is actually controlled by these same people, and they're not actually going to give the story in exact. So I just want to thank you and the brother for telling the true story of his struggle. Thank you. Not struggle.
You're
I don't
welcome.
Want to call it struggle. You're welcome, brother. So I'm 100% behind you, and once the information that I receive as soon as possible, I will post it entirely myself.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We get all the
posted. Thank you, brother. You're welcome.
We thank you for coming on the show. We are at our end, and we're going to do this again. And I thank you for coming to Wake Up African People and telling your story. I want to say to everybody, I want to say good night to all the listeners and all future listeners that listen to this program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night, brother.
Good night.